This is Method Man of the Mighty Wu-Tang Clan. Chillin'. Jalen and Jacoby, man. They gave these dudes a show.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, dope?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together we're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
Give the people what they want.
The people got what they wanted last night watching episodes 9 and 10 of The Last Dance. It was absolutely phenomenal. But at the very end of episode 10, there was that realization that this Bulls team would not play together another season. Let's listen to Michael Ayer, Jeffrey Jordan discuss that.
We could have won 7. I really believe that. We may not have, but man, just not to be able to try, that's something that, you know, I just can't accept. For whatever reason, I just can't accept it.
I can't accept it either, Jalen Rose. I can't accept it either. How does a team with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and the rest of that core just say, you know what? Let's rebuild. We don't need Michael Jordan on our basketball team.
MJ is that GOAT, but I once saw this on Above the Rim. He can stop some traffic with them yellow eyes. With that being said, they knew going into that final season that was going to be the finality. And if you're a player like Scottie Pippen, as far as you're concerned, the organization was on borrowed time, basically most of your career with the team. They were unhappy about Tony Kukoc. Scottie never truly got his value. He had the time where he got surgery on company time. He didn't go in the game. Kukoc made the game winner. He was getting on Jerry Krause time after time after time again. So there was not going to be a 7th run for this team the year after. If they were going to win the championship 7 times in a row or 8 times in a row, it would have been the years he went to go play baseball, David Jacoby.
I think that is a good point. I think a lot of people forget the context of this. That there was actually a shortened lockout season that next year that took a lot of attention away from the fact that this Bulls team would no longer be. But it's just so hard if you're Krause, if you're Reinsdorf, it's so hard for me to get inside their heads and understand why you wouldn't want Michael Jordan on your basketball team. Like, I understand it. I watched all 10 episodes of this documentary twice, but I just don't understand how you can sit in an office and call yourself a general manager of a basketball team, an owner of a basketball team, and say, you know what? We're better off without Michael Jordan. How does that happen?
It ain't hard to tell. It was a power structure, Jacoby. They started to win so much that the organization was able to take it for granted. So Reinsdorf was like, I know Phil has accomplished some great things. I know Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. I know Scottie's underpaid. But you know what? This is my team. And there was a level of ego that went along with that in that building. Trust me, as somebody that played there afterwards, that almost spilled to be a little bit of jealousy based on the popularity of those guys. So the organization, while Jerry Krause became the face of it, was looking toward ushering those guys away to the point Phil left, went to the Lakers, and won 5 more championships as a head coach.
And it is a shame to think in that last season, while Michael Jordan was making over $30 million, Scottie Pippen was making less than 3. I mean, if you look at this, like it just seems wrong. It does seem a little tricky to make this work if you have to re-sign all these players, but still, like the idea that at the bottom there is Scottie Pippen at number 6 making $2.8 million. It just seems so unfair and unjust. I understand why he went and got paid by the Houston Rockets. And Jalen,
well, Scott Burrell, there was another made that since The Last Dance came out. And of course, MJ want to run it back. He's getting 54% of the salary cap.
I know. There is something poetic about him making that last shot during The Last Dance. So it all worked out well. And Jalen, there was another revelation from last night's episode. And this one was absolutely shocking. Let's listen to the director of The Last Dance talk to me and Jalen on the after show. This will blow your mind.
Shows up. Michael says, everybody, do not touch this pizza. This is mine. You didn't wait for me. Don't touch this. So he spits on the pizza.
What?
This is not the only time you can look up that Michael would spit on food if he didn't want people to eat it. That is why I think it is true that Michael ate an entire pizza himself. Was that pizza spiked? I don't believe that. Oh, I do believe that nobody else ate that pizza.
So, Jalen, this is known as the flu game, but it was not a flu game. It was a food poisoning game because a pizza that he had delivered to his hotel room, he spit on so no one else would eat it, and he says that that gave him food poisoning. Jalen, do you think adult beverages were involved? That's always been a rumor. Do you think this was a spiked pizza?
I know adult
pizza?
Beverages were involved, David Jacoby, and I love doing those pods with Jason because he's giving us exclusive jewels. And let me give you a combination of something. Professional athlete, after 11 p.m., you've had adult beverages, and now you have a little munchies happening. You want to order some pizza. Five people bring the pizza. The other people in the room with you ate earlier. So two beats fightful, you spit on the pizza so they won't have any. Get back. It's mine. All mine. And then you go and eat that pizza and you mix it with those adult beverages. That never goes well after midnight. You know that, Jacoby. That, he was able to do that in the early 90s. You can't be doing that in 98, dog. It's way different.
I just love the idea of Michael Jordan sitting in like a couch in a hotel room with a pizza on the coffee table, opening up the big pizza box, looking at his friends and just spitting on every single slice, just being like, no, you guys are not touching this pizza. Jalen Rose.
Yes, sir.
You were a part of episode 9, a big part of it because your Pacers pushed these Bulls to a very, very tight game 7. And it really did feel like the relief after they won. It did feel like that your team, this Pacers team, pushed them further than any other team did aside from the Bad Boys during this entire championship run. What did it feel like to be in that building and to play this team in that series?
Well, watching it back is pride. It's agony, it's pain, disappointment. And anytime you watch yourself do something that's imperfect, you always tell yourself what you could have done better in order to change the outcome. At least that's what you hope people do, especially in the team dynamic. Because it's one thing for everybody, and rightfully so, to be able to celebrate the all-time GOAT in Michael Jordan. Imagine being the people that's trying to go against what everybody loves. That's something in itself to create a level of enthusiasm within the squad. Like, we're about to upset them and shut everybody up. We know everybody rocking his shoes. We know he the GOAT. We know he won 5 championships. So to watch back at it, it reminds me of Tony Kukoc gave us that work, man. I think he had like at least 20. He was a stretch 4, 6'11", gave us problems. There was a jump ball with Rick Smits and I think it was Scottie Pippen that led to Kerr hitting the 3. So plays like that and just Ron Harper's defense, those are things that go under the radar to help them win that game in that series.
Well, Jalen, unfortunately, there wasn't much you could do differently because you were barely on the floor in Game 7. Give Jalen Rose more minutes, Larry Bird. Come on. When we come back, Dennis Rodman continues to do shocking things during NBA seasons. We'll tell you what the latest one is right after this. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, there is so much Michael Jordan topics to discuss that we can't get to them all. So we have a very special edition of Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, we will keep it moving. We start with this. ESPN has a poll of who is greater, LeBron James or Michael Jordan. One of the results?
No break.
73% of people say that Michael Jordan, not LeBron James, is the greatest of all time. How much do you think The Last Dance has changed the way people look at the Jordan versus LeBron debate?
I think for a lot of people who didn't physically see Michael Jordan play and wasn't around to acknowledge the coverage that he was getting are now being introduced to his all-time greatness. Because while the documentary is picked it in 1998, in theory, it encapsulates his entire career. So now all of a sudden you get updated on how it was earlier in his career when instead of load managing on a 30-win team, he wheeled him to the playoffs playing 7-minute halves and scored 63 points against the Boston Celtics. You start learning stories like that. So I understand now that there's a current audience that just got familiar. And lastly, it's true. I think that's about right. 70% versus 30%
That is a good point. It is true. It is true. Let's move on.
Over double. Jalen. Over double.
Channing Frye. Channing Frye had something interesting to say about the LeBron versus Jordan debate.
The break.
Channing Frye said that modern players would rather play with LeBron James than Michael Jordan. There's a lot of discussion about how Jordan treats his teammates. Do you think there's truth to that?
So I love Channing. Played with him earlier in his career. And he should be blinded by the championship ring LeBron James hand delivered to his finger. I totally understand. I totally understand. But you know what leadership is to me? Going to get your teammate when he's laying in the bed with Carmen Electra and all other things after he went to Vegas for 2 weeks and didn't come back when he said he was going to come back. That's leadership, okay? That's what I'm talking about.
Jalen. Miles Bridges wants to play Michael Jordan one-on-one. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
He don't want that smoke. I love young fella, but keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
BJ Armstrong said it was difficult hanging out with Michael Jordan because he was so famous. We'll hit the brakes. BJ Armstrong said that while the other teammates would go about town and go eat dinner or do things, that Michael Jordan was basically secluded in his hotel room and couldn't hang with the team. What do you think about that?
That's absolutely true. Like, he had fame that only a couple of other people at the time could relate to, namely like Magic Johnson is probably the only person that comes to mind. And so when you live in that bubble and you're so very famous and you're distinguished as the GOAT and you're an elite pitchman and selling gym shoes like no other athlete has done, and you've taken the game and you made it suburban, you made it mainstream. You've shown that people that look like you could be pitchman on an elite level. The other part you sacrifice is your personal freedom and your space. And hopefully that's what money buys you, the opportunity to build a fortress around yourself, Jacoby, and eat good, champagne and campaign, have all the cigars you want, all the champagne you want. And that seems like what he was doing.
Seems like Michael Jordan prefers tequila, but you are right. Moving on. Another debate that seemed to be brought back up by The Last Dance is, was it a push-off on Brian Russell? Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
It was not a push-off. He used the momentum. Keep it moving. We that was moving. Cold. Good.
We keep it
Walk
moving.
Walk off.
Well, one thing that was also unearthed by this documentary was that after Michael Jordan punched Steve Kerr in the face, he had to get his teammate's phone number. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes. Hit
Why
the
do
brakes.
You have to get your own teammate's phone number? You do not have Steve Kerr's phone number.
He's
such
an
integral part of the team.
Like, that's what I mean by the game was different. Like, right now, players use technology to like each other's pictures, to follow one another, to support one another, good, bad, or indifferent. Back then, you're Michael Jordan. You're Steve Kerr. Dog, you can beat me. That's what you do. I don't even need – just hit me on my pager, dog. You know what I'm saying? Use your jersey number as your code. And I'll holler when I can. Like, MJ was too famous to be playing those games. And so I understand why he didn't physically have his number, but I appreciate that he reached out to get it when they had an altercation.
Jalen, Dennis Rodman, once again, missed important time with the Bulls to do something crazy. Keep moving or hit the brakes. In the middle of the NBA Finals, not the regular season, the middle of the NBA Finals, Dennis Rodman went to wrestle with Hulk Hogan. What is happening in the world when one of your best players goes to wrestle with Hulk Hogan?
Just think about it like this. Michael Jordan was the kind of guest that would be on Oprah. Scottie Pippen at the time was on Arsenio, and Rodman was doing wrestling. Like, these guys were superstars, and Rodman was a rock star. He continued to push the envelope, Jacoby, the tattoos, the piercings, the hair colors, and wrestling during the finals. You know the league would have disciplined him back in the day?
Oh,
the Bulls wouldn't have had to do nothing. You messing with somebody's money, you could get hurt.
Phil didn't even seem to care.
Phil didn't even seem to care whatsoever.
Jalen, when we come back, the NFL is doing something to try to incentivize teams to hire minority coaches. We'll tell you what that is after this. During these uncertain times, nothing is more important than your family. And the safety and protection of your family. And whether you want to protect your family or your property, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. ADT can help customize a security package that fits almost every lifestyle. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. And they offer all the essentials for convenience, security, and reliability, including but not limited to HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. ADT is the largest security network. 9 ADT owned and operated monitoring centers are operating and up 24/7, 365. And they have a 6-month money back guarantee. So when it matters most, trust ADT. Now more than ever, you need peace of mind with 24/7 rapid response monitoring from the leader in home security. During all of this uncertainty in your life, there's nothing more certain than security that ADT can provide you. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, I want you to take a look at this list. This is the complete list of minority head coaches in the NFL, and there are only 2 minority general managers. The NFL is proposing that they compensate teams with draft position for minority hires. What do you think about this proposal?
And the most important position that was not put on that graphic is ownership. And so when ownership is black and brown and minority, it tends to spill downward, and that would be front office and out on the field. I applaud actually the NFL for taking this extreme measure at looking at each one of his teams and realizing that they're not going to do it righteously. They've proven time and time again that they're not going to do it. So therefore, there need to be some punishment and there needs to be some reward for those that end up doing it. So I do applaud them for looking themselves in the mirror and knowing that they had to do something.
Yes, I mean, it should not come to this, but unfortunately it has come to this. So it is good that they are trying to do something, but it's ridiculous that it comes to these extreme measures. Up next, highly questionable Dan Le Batard. We'll be back tomorrow at 4:00. Jalen, we always say we give the people what they want, but we have to apologize to our podcast listeners. You know, we have to apologize. Last week was our first week on E1. Yeah, no, we didn't sell out. We went to E1 and we had to make sure that we were getting the show up from our bedrooms and our basements. You know what I mean? We had to just make sure we get the TV show up and out. So we didn't have the time or the technological workflow to record our podcast exclusive, but now we're back, you know, because we've been putting out like 16-minute podcasts, you know, and there's a guy that I saw. I think he was an essential worker. He was delivering stuff. I think he was delivering food. And he stopped me and he said, man, you guys get me through every single shift. Every day I listen to the pod. You guys get me through every shift. So we're letting the essential workers down, Jay. The heroes. We're letting them down. We can't let that happen. So we're going to try to record podcast exclusive every day. Got to record podcast exclusive every single day.
Mandatory.
Jalen.
What up, though?
There's some things that we need to discuss. So some sports started to come back, right? We got the UFC fights happening. Bundesliga came back. There was some weird golf thing. And, you know, they had a little NASCAR. So there's a soccer team in South Korea called FC Seoul. And what they did is they simulated some fans in the stands. But they put some like mannequins, right? They put some mannequins in the stands. They had to apologize because some of those mannequins were sex dolls. Soft move or boss move, putting sex dolls in the stands.
I think it's a boss move because at some point you're running out of mannequins and you just got to grab the ones that's available.
Whatever you got. Yeah. Whatever's right? Cost effective.
It's like 3 months ago, we didn't know he's going to need that many, you know?
No. Yo, and also the sex dolls also look like they're cheering. You know what I mean? They always got their mouth open. So they look like they're really enthusiastic about the play in the fields.
So I got a couple of questions about the sex dolls. So does that mean they have
you never ask follow-up questions, but once parts? I bring up sex dolls,
they have body parts?
I didn't see the actual sex dolls, but I'm sure they do have body parts, but I wonder if they put clothes on the sex dolls. I have a lot of follow-up questions about the sex dolls too. Were they all female sex dolls? Were they wearing like FC Seoul shirts? Were they naked? Where were they? I think they're putting like right behind the bench.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Is it going to get us canceled?
JCPenney, Northland Mall. I was a young fella walking with my moms. and I felt on the butt of a mannequin. And I got slapped in the store.
Mannequins started to get thicker in the last like 10 years. You noticed that? Because mannequins, they used to not have it, the derriere
that was
pronounced. But now mannequins started to get a little thicker, I noticed. I noticed the mannequins started to get a little thicker. Mannequins started doing squats since like 2000.
Well, they realized that, you know, beauty is more than one type of beauty. You know, it's all types. You know, they did that with Barbie dolls as well. All different types of beauty. Let's embrace all shapes, colors, and sizes. And so, the mannequins are a lot thinner then.
Auntie Zoe
got me a little smooch, though.
Auntie Zoe got the kids the big Barbie doll dream house thing, which was really annoying. It's huge, but now we're in the quarantine. It comes in handy because they can play with it, but it's really annoying. It's a huge toy. It takes up like half the living room. It's ridiculous. We were so mad when Auntie Zoe brought it over. We're like, we told you specifically not to do this, and she did it. But I was cleaning up because, you know, I spent about 2 hours of the days cleaning up and doing dishes and laundry and everything.
Washing dishes, absolutely.
At least 2 hours a day, 2-3 hours a day, right? And I'm cleaning up the Barbies. I'm looking at my Barbies. I'm like, my wife really wouldn't even let a white Barbie in the house. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a single white Barbie. We got like 12 Barbies in this house. Not a single white Barbie. I'm about to go buy my kids a white Barbie. I'm going to get my kids a white Barbie. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, that's what happens when you marry a black woman.
Yeah. All the American girls, all the Barbies, Santa Claus. Santa Claus. Yeah, Santa Claus is black.
Do not get this
everybody
twisted.
In LA.
And I say this,
there's a black Santa.
And I say this, our society does not give enough love, credit, respect, and honor to the black woman. I've made the argument that whether it's men, whether it's animals, whether it's whatever, sometimes it seems like their needs and their appreciation get placed ahead of the black woman. So I'm glad that your wife Joey is keeping everybody honest.
She is, man. Joey's the best. She is the absolute best. Jalen, it was nice out in the city yesterday. Sunny, like 70 degrees. Everybody was outside. Everybody was outside. How do you feel when you go outside? Like you know, I'm not going to say where you live, but you're not exactly in the middle of Manhattan. So you don't deal with the crowds that I deal with. But when you go outside, you get a little scared about the Roni Roan. Sometimes I feel scared of the Roan. I feel like the Roan was in the air yesterday.
I feel, after watching the reports and how it's devastated the world and created a pandemic in our country, it's really unclear how you can catch it. It almost like it seems like an abstract, like it's something that's in the air and seems like it can – get in your eyes, get on your nose, get in your mouth, get on your hands, wash your hands, keep them clean, don't touch things, like that type of thing. So when I'm out and about as a public figure and somebody that likes to give the people what they want, you know, I shake hands and kiss babies and give daps and hugs and take pictures and do all of that. That's just how I, you know, basically functioned. For as long as I've been a public figure, for now, I just keep it stealth. That's really the difference for me. And keeping my distance because, like you, if it's something that I can avoid, I'm going to try to do my best to do so. And just so you know, matter of fact, I'm going to post a picture. I didn't tell you this.
What?
I flew to Detroit Saturday.
Oh, that's right. I remember you told me that. And you went full. Were you full hazmat? What do you do? Full hazmat suit? How'd you gear up for the plane? Because you already got them big glasses that you're wearing right now. So that's as good as like a.
I had these on.
That'll protect your eyes.
No question. I had on the glasses. I had on the N95 mask.
Yep.
I had a shield.
A shield, like a V Stiviano. Yeah, you had the V Stiv.
Are
there people on the plane?
Yeah, it was people on the plane. It wasn't. It was probably like 30% capacity.
Well, here's what I know it's real.
I know he is, but I don't know. I've never seen her.
You don't know about her mask? Oh yeah, she wears one of those big visors during all that happening. So here's a question for you: on a plane, did you get an adult beverage?
No, first time ever, probably. No, especially
first time afternoon ever, or evening. Says.
Yeah. No. I wasn't taking the mask off my mouth, dog. Not gonna be able to do it.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I made sure I was sleeping.
I'd be tempted.
No, like they got like
one thing they're starting to do in my neighborhood, a lot of bars in my neighborhood. Bars are starting to set up like little to-go counters. You know what I mean? So you could go up to a bar and like get a drink in a to-go cup and then walk around Manhattan with it like it's New Orleans or something. And police That's are being real lax about this too. Police are being real lax about this. It's not adult though. It makes me feel Roni because there's people gathering in groups. It's feeling Roni. Everything feels Roni out there.
David, this is why we're such brothers from another mother. But sometimes you're from Venus and I'm from Mars, family. The way the police have been behaving, it's definitely based on zip code. And 80% of the people who have gotten reprimanded for not social distancing have been black or brown people.
It's ridiculous.
So they have
it's ridiculous.
Correct. Now, just think about this. We're having a pandemic. People are walking around with masks. Certain things shouldn't be happening in society, like as many car accidents, as much traffic, as much crime. Like they're just going to be down, right? Why am I still seeing videos of police brutality?
It's crazy. Did I miss something? It's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
For social distancing?
Absolutely crazy.
So y'all rolling up on me sitting on the stoop, and you're going to decide if that was 2 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet? Is that what we doing?
But are we really going to sit here and act like – we're going to say like black and brown people are gathering more so than other people? You know what I mean? Because that's not the case. It's just that the police are only harassing the black and brown people that are gathering.
Correct. And
it's embarrassing.
It's clearly happening disproportionate because we're not the majority in society. What we make up of 13% of society? Like,
New York, the numbers are bigger than that, but still, it ain't 70%. It ain't the ratio's not the same. The ratio's not the same.
And also, this is not for all of the cops, but this is for the ones that don't approve this type of behavior. You know what's going to help it start to change? When they speak out. Mm-hmm. Not when I see the statements from the NYPD and the underlying motive was like, oh, they were acting within their rights. Nuh-huh. What? Like grabbing dude, slamming dude, punching dude. Like I've seen like so many of these videos. And it's not just NYC, it's across the country. And it's just, you know, we've come so far, but yet we have so very far to go. And it's really disappointing. So prayers and support to anybody that's been involved in circumstances like that, have lost loved ones to some level of brutality, in particular if it came from law enforcement or vigilante law enforcement. But you know, we got to speak out against that type of injustice, and it starts within the department.
Absolutely. Jalen, we got to rededicate ourselves to doing podcast exclusive content. You know what I mean? Last week, I'm giving us a pass, but we got to rededicate ourselves to doing Instagram lives, podcast exclusive, because we got to get the people what they want. We got to get the people what they want. I want to thank everybody for listening. You know, we always want to give you exclusive content. We'll try to do so every single day this week. I hope you understand why we couldn't last week. But no more 15-minute pods, Jay. We're giving people what they want. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that?
And also, you got to check us out post Last Dance with Jason Ayer. He gave us an exclusive about what Michael Jordan has done to food. That's just disgusting.
It's just wrong.
You must check that out.
I don't know if he's the GOAT anymore. You know what? I'm back on Team LeBron. LeBron would never spit on a pizza so his friends can't eat it. He would never do that.
He would never do that. We're not done. We're not done.